to the Grace-Based Family Podcast. This is Dr. Tim Kimmel. For over 40 years, our ministry has been teaching people all over the globe how to turn God's act of grace into the defining feature of their closest relationships. We're excited for you to listen in on the conversation.
We're here today with Samantha. Samantha is passionate about teaching others the truth, whether it's God's word or everyday life lessons. She's a graduate of Phoenix Seminary, and her desire is to use her education and her gift of writing to help others deepen their relationship with God. Samantha Wright and her husband, Tim, have two married daughters and a granddaughter, and I'm really excited to chat with her today. Welcome, Samantha.
Thank you.
So I read your blog. Tim Kimmel knows you and your family, and he sent a blog post to some of us in the office, and I was just so moved, saddened by your story of loss, but also really encouraged by your perspective and your attitude and your confidence in the Lord. So why don't you just start out by telling our listeners what happened in 2021 that kind of shaped your story?
Well, I had just been away for a few days. I remember it was Mother's Day because it was, it was 2 years ago, May 21st, that the fire happened. And I had taken my mom to Illinois to visit her sister who has cancer as a Mother's Day gift because I didn't know how long, you know, my aunt would live. And we had a great time. I got home Thursday night. I was so peaceful, excited. I got home and I told my husband, I was like, oh, look, we had gotten our chocolate lab from a breeder, IM Ranch. And I said, oh, look, Ember had puppies. And I didn't know why I was excited about their dog having puppies, because we'd just gotten Ella a year before. She'd just turned a year old. She was one of Clementine's pups. And got up the next morning, and normally after a trip, I unpack and I get settled. But that morning was different. I got up and I was ready to get out the door. And so about 9:20 or so, I put Ella out on the deck, and I was like, honey, I know I've been gone all week. And I held her little face in my hands and gave her a kiss. And I said, I promise I'll be right back. And so my plan was to go run a few errands and then come home and then unpack. And I left and went thrift store shopping. I was working on a quilt for my granddaughter of all the Minnie Mouse shirts that my daughter had over her life, she was 26 at the time. And I just needed three more shirts to kind of make it complete. I also had a shirt that Tim and I had gotten at Disneyland on our honeymoon. Those were in the middle. And so I was making a quilt for our granddaughter. And so I found a couple more shirts. And I remember thinking, you know, God, I'm just so grateful. I'm just so happy. Life is so wonderful. And I had planned to go home, and I thought, you know what, I'm just going to see if Tim wants to go to lunch because I haven't seen him all week. I've been gone. And so we met up at a restaurant in town, and about 12:10, his phone rang, and he said, oh, it's just a police officer, which I guess that sounds alarming, but he's a Superior Court judge, so he gets a lot of phone calls like that. So he said, I'll call him back, and put his phone face down. And then my phone rang, and it was the same police officer. And I was like, hey, what's up? I guess I have to back up again. I'm sorry. I have to give context. Sergeant Hansen had been in the high school group at our church. And so that was why I was kind of like, hey, what's going on? And he said, do you still live in the house that we had dinner with you a couple years ago? And I said, well, yeah. And he goes, your house is on fire. And I said, my house? And he said, yeah. And I was like, oh, please, please, please get our cat out. The dog's in the backyard, so she should be okay, but please get Esther out. And we just dropped everything, ran out of the restaurant, didn't pay for our food, nothing. And I can just remember kind of screaming like, oh my God, what are you doing? What is going on? And turning the corner off the highway and seeing all the smoke and just thinking, this can't be our house. This can't be, like, what? I've only been gone a couple hours. What could have happened? And when we got to the scene, the fire was too hot to get anywhere close to the house. I'd kind of said in my head, you know what, Esther, there's no way she got out, and knew that any hope of her living was not plausible. And I remember, you know, Tim got there right after me because we drove separate. And I remember saying, I know Esther couldn't have made it. I said, but if Ella doesn't make it, I can't survive this. I just won't survive this. And we just stood and watched as they tried to put the fire out. It was a really windy day, and so the fire would die down and they'd take the water off, and the wind would stir it back up again. So this went on for several hours. And one of the neighbors had said they saw a chocolate lab running around the neighborhood. So our kind of adopted daughter, we took care of her from the time she was three on. She came right away, and she was running around with us, whistling for Ella, calling for her. And our youngest daughter, Zoe, she was the one I actually called first. I'm not sure why, but she was getting on an airplane to fly home. And she says, Mom, I can't talk right now. Can I call you when I get a chance? I don't remember now if I texted her our house is on fire, or I just left it at that. But whatever happened, she and her husband ended up flying into Arizona rather than flying home to be with us. About 2:15 or so, the fire chief came to Tim and told him, without me, that they'd found Ella's body on the deck. For whatever reason, the fire was coming out the French doors and she couldn't get down the stairs to get to safety. So the chocolate lab that the neighbor saw was actually our neighbor's chocolate lab and not Ella. Once I heard that, Tim told me, I just dropped to the ground and I said, I can't be here anymore. I just can't. You know, everything that we owned, other than the clothes on our back and what we had in our cars, was gone. There was nothing that survived. There were a few little trinkets that God left us here and there in our daughter Shoshana's room, which was where the fire was the hottest, because a neighbor, a passerby, threw a rock through the window because he heard our dog and thought the dog was inside, but she was actually on the other side of that room on the deck. In that room, the only thing that we really found that survived was my great-grandmother's cross, her gold chain, and her rosary. Nothing else in that room survived.
Wow.
And we were just, Jordan, our adopted daughter, we were just digging through ashes looking for Esther's body for weeks. And that was what we found in that room. In Zoe's room, which was on the other side of the house, anytime you have furniture that is particle board, it does not burn really. So all of my antiques that were solid wood were just no more. Yeah. But this particle board furniture seemed to survive. And we had all of our photos and negatives and stuff in a dresser in the far corner. And although they were wet, Jordan took them and dried them all out. And that's my scanning project. Yeah. I think a company wanted $3,000 to do it. And I just felt like I couldn't pay that kind of money to scan photos when I can do it myself. Yeah. And a cabinet that was an old radio chest that was my grandparents', had all my seminary notebooks and all my notes in it. And all that survived, which was... And then the Bibles that were strewn through the house, they were all charred on the outside, but the insides were all okay. Wow. And so I just thought that God was saying, you know what? I allowed everything to be taken away, but things that I know that were really special to you, mm-hmm. I'm gonna save. Yeah. And that was how we looked at it, was we did lose anything that was saved to the cloud. I will tell you now, mm-hmm. it is worth $1.99 a month to pay to have your stuff stored there if you do not have your stuff on a thumb drive or in a safety deposit box, because I was using my computer as an external hard drive, and what I didn't want to pay the money to have it backed up. And so I lost everything on that computer because that computer did not survive. You always think when you have a fire, I'll grab it on my way out the door, but
right, if you're not there.
If you're not there, you can't grab it. And like our taxes, we had a paper file, we had it on the computer, and we had a thumb drive file, but they were all in the house. And we just never thought about taking the thumb drive with us every time we left, or it just, you know, it's kind of crazy.
Wow. You are in probably, I don't know what the percentage is, but a very, very rare percent of people that experience not only house fire, but like total devastation. I mean, I've seen the pictures of your home on your blog, and we'll share that URL at the end, but there's nothing left.
Mm-mm. No.
That has got to be so, there's probably so many emotions and feelings and memories and things wrapped up, and then grief. With the loss of your dog and your cat and just the everything that that house represents. One thing that just really stood out to me on your blog is I just kept thinking, like, the beauty from the ashes, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you had a line saying, I'm weary, but I'm not defeated.
Right.
And I'd love you to kind of share some of the lessons learned that you had on your blog through this really, really devastating experience.
Okay. We were weary. At that time when we got the news about Ella, I said, I can't be here anymore. And we got in the car and drove to Tucson, where my son-in-law and daughter and granddaughter lived. And then Scott and Zoe flew into the Tucson airport, and we all gathered there. And our granddaughter, even at two, knew something was wrong because she was very standoffish. And, you know, we needed to get clothing and toothbrushes, and I had to get my medications refilled. There were just so many things that you take for granted that you use on a daily basis that you now do not have. Mm-hmm. And so our kids really stepped up, and they went shopping and got those things for us. The following day, we were in REI, and I saw Ella's favorite dog toy, and I just started bawling. And people around were like, oh my goodness, what is wrong with this woman? And so, you know, I guess part of me, our pastor, the first thing he asked me is, are you mad at God? And I said, well, not at this moment. That may come later, but right now, the only comfort I can get is from God and the music that I listening to one of the songs, Even If by Mercy, I think it's Mercy Me, was one of the songs. Jeremy Camp's Out of My Hands, Plums, I Have Nothing. That was the first song that went through my head when I was standing there watching, is I Have Nothing. And one of the words in the song is, you know, naked I came into this world, and naked I'll go out. And that's true. And you think of Job and everything that he went through. And as we were going through this, we didn't want to become bitter. We wanted to become better. Mm-hmm. And so trying to think of, okay, what is the upside? What is the positive of losing this stuff? Well, I had a lot of my great grandparents and grandparents' things. China, my great grandparents' immigration papers from Poland, death certificates, birth certificates, stuff like that. You know, my kids didn't want it. And it really was a heavy burden to think, what am I going to do with this stuff when I die? I'm responsible for it. And just to get rid of it or think of it going into the trash was really hard for me. And so in some ways I thought, okay, God, you just relieved me of what was feeling like a burden to have all this stuff. Another person said, you know, the pictures that you lost, you still have the pictures and the memories in your head, you know, which is so very true.
I know you talked a lot about in your blog that life isn't fair. Mm-hmm. And I loved that. I always tell my kids that when they're like, well, that's not fair. I mean, and to see everything in your home burned down, that doesn't feel fair.
It doesn't. And then, but you look at Matthew 5:45, and it talks about how the sun shines on the good and evil, and the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And I can say, why me? But why not me? Mm-hmm. What makes me so special that I should be exempt from any tragedy in life? Just because I'm a believer? No. You know what? The Bible tells us we're going to have tribulation in this world. We're not exempt from it. And so as I tried to, you know, think why, someone asked me, well, were you being naughty? Just because, you know, is God punishing you by burning down your house? And, you know, I think about as a mother, as a parent, I would never want my child to have to go through anything so devastating. I don't believe that God was sitting, you know, on his throne saying, aha, I'm going to, you know, discipline Samantha this way. You know, we all face consequences of actions in life. And sometimes the consequences I face are my own, because of my own decisions. Sometimes they're because of somebody else's decisions. When my brother died at 25, he overdosed, and our family got to deal with the consequences of his choice. That wasn't fair, but that is life. After the fall, the Bible tells us too that the whole earth is groaning for it to be made new again. And so why should I expect to be happy here on earth? I'm not, you know, even as beautiful as our new home is, and hopefully we're going to get to move in here in a 3-4 weeks time. I'm hoping sooner rather than later, because I'm so ready to nest and have a home again. But it's nothing compared to what our home will be like in heaven later. Mm. One morning our pastor was talking about, he's sharing Psalm 18:30, which is, this God, his way is perfect. He is a shield for all those that take refuge in him. And I was like, you know what, God, you know, you're my shield. You're my refuge. Like, where were you that morning? You know, how could you let this happen? And instantly I heard a voice in my head. I am your shield. Mm. You weren't there. Normally I would have. Yeah. And if I wouldn't have asked him if he wanted to go to lunch, I would have gone home when the fire was, you know, just getting going, probably. Who knows? And, you know, my girl said, Mom, you would have died trying to save the animals. Yeah. Or getting out things that were important to you. Mm-hmm. And so that really just rang, just has sat with me and been a constant reminder to me that, you know, the animals, they're, you know, as devastating as it was to lose them and everything, we kept telling, you know, Tim and I, we kept saying, we have our health, we have each other, we have our children, we have our granddaughter, nothing has happened to them. And so let's focus on that. Let's focus on what we do have, not what we don't have. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that was really important to me. The other thing, you know, as we went through this was being reminded, you know what, life's not all about me. Mm. And there have been times where we've run into people and they've heard we've had a house fire and, you know, we've been able to talk to them about it. And so maybe the fire, you know, I really don't feel like God was punishing me for what happened. I believe it was something that happened that God is using for good in other areas of life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we need to remember to take a step back and look at the big picture. You know, God has this ultimate plan, mm-hmm. and we have no idea what things happen in our lives that lead us down certain paths to meet certain people and to make certain things happen that need to happen in the future.
Yeah, that whole everything happens for a reason concept. I know you talk about that a lot. Mm-hmm. And I love that you also allude to, I'm not the only one going through this. Did it give you an expanded compassion for others who had suffered loss of family, pet, home, job?
Absolutely. It definitely gives you a different perspective. There are times when, you know, when tragedy happens in someone's life, everyone comes together right in the beginning and they're there for you and there's a meal train and then time passes and people go on with their lives and you're still there and you're suffering and trying to get through it and trying to figure out, well, what is my purpose here in life? You know, what should I be doing? And at that point, you have two choices: to sulk about it and say, oh, poor me, nobody's paying attention to me, or say, okay, who's out there right now that needs help? Mm. And honestly, I always feel better if I'm out there helping. I don't feel better if I'm sitting at home having my own little pity party. And so that's what I did. And when things would happen, people would say, oh, we're going to do this for you. We want to do this for you. Or we have a little something for you. And time passes and you never hear from them. You know, I have to remember, you know, some people forget. Mm-hmm. Or some people say things because they want to feel a part of what the experience that's going on. And then when nobody's around, well, you're not going to get kudos for it if nobody's watching. Yeah. So, and so I think that showed us a lot of who our true friends were and, you know, family that really cared and were there for us. It was definitely a learning experience for us. And as we, you know, go forward looking at, when people are in different circumstances, I think now 3-4 weeks down the road is when Tim and I like to do something mm-hmm. for the family or send a card or send flowers because of that very thing. I noticed when my brother died, the same thing happened. You know, mm-hmm. people were there for my parents in the beginning and then, you know, a month, 2, 3, 6 months later, everybody's forgotten about it and moved on. And so as believers, I'd love to really challenge people to think about that, to take some time, maybe put a note in your calendar later mm-hmm. to check in with them and just say, hey, you know what, you know, how are you doing? And a friend of mine said, you know, I mentioned this and she said, a lot of times we don't know what to say.
Yeah.
And you know what, you don't have to say anything. Just call up and say, hey, you want to go get coffee or tea or yogurt or whatever? Mm-hmm. And there were times I wanted to talk about it, but there were other times when I just had enough of it and I didn't want to talk about it at all. And so I think it's just learning to kind of watch for cues. Mm-hmm. Let that person, you know, bring the subject up, because they'll talk about it if they want to. And if they don't, they won't bring it up. But there's a million other things in life that you can talk about besides what happened to them.
Yeah. But I love what you said about early on, there's a lot of support when mm-hmm. there's any sort of tragedy, whether or hardship. But as time goes on, mm-hmm. it kind of fades from people's memories, except for the person that's dealing with the loss.
Exactly.
And that's a great reminder. I have a friend that lost her mom at mm-hmm. a really young age. And I know Mother's Day is really hard for her. And I thought about it this Mother's Day, and then I forgot to text her. And I was just, but so this is a reminder for me, even just right. to say, hey, I'm thinking about you today. How
right.
are you?
Because right.
I don't know the words to say. I haven't gone through that. But just to acknowledge, I know today might be hard.
Right.
How are you doing? I'm thinking about you is all it takes to show love and support.
Exactly. Because that means the world to her that, oh, somebody cares enough about me to yeah. take 3 seconds to type out a message or put a card in the mail or send an email or whatever.
Yeah, that's a great reminder. What, Samantha, what have you learned about God through this experience, through these last, now it's almost been 2 years mm-hmm. since the fire? You're rebuilding your home now.
Yes.
Hopefully you'll get in soon.
Hopefully.
I know it's always longer than they say, right?
And especially right now with the, just nobody to, you know, there's no workers and you order stuff and it takes weeks on end or anyway.
So challenging. So obviously God's teaching you some patience because that would grate on my nerves. Waiting. I've been waiting long enough, Lord. I want a home.
It is. And so, but he's showing me that when one thing backs up the timetable or whatever, then there's always a reason for it later on. And we may not know in this lifetime why certain things have happened, but I just have to trust him and remind myself that, you know what, he is working it all out for good. Mm-hmm. And yes, you know, so-and-so forgot to order, you know, the tile, but okay, well, we're going to pick a different tile and it's not the end of the world. And you know what? In the end, does it really matter? Mm-hmm. When I am dead, am I really going to care?
Right.
And so it just is life. Yeah. And really just trying to take a step back and remind myself of the promises. That, I mean, there's a reason the things that are written in the Bible are written there. And if I don't read it and don't learn it, I'm not going to know. Yeah. And so it's another really good reason to just, you know what, read the Old Testament. One of the things I love about the Old Testament is it really shows you how God deals as a disciplinarian with his children. Mm. And it really is a lot of reality discipline. If you do this, this will happen. And that's, you know, that's kind of how you are with your kids, too. You know, you tell them, if you do this, this is going to happen mm-hmm. with our granddaughter. You know, I'll tell her, Abigail, if you do this, this is what happens. If you do this, this is what happens. It's Abigail's choice. And she'll say, Abby's choice.
Oh, cute.
So it just, you know, but she gets it at 3. She understands it. Why at almost 54 years old do I have to continually remind myself, Samantha, if you do this, this is what happens. If you do that, you know, there's a consequence to that. Mm. Whether it's just a little sin or whether it's, I don't know. Do you ever hear that kind of still small voice in your head that says, you know, pray for this person, call this person, yeah. check in on this person? There are times I'm like, I don't want to do it.
Right.
I just don't want to do it. But I'm always grateful when I listen to that still small voice. Mm-hmm. I just made a quilt for a young man and his new wife who had just had a baby. We've known him since he was 2. He grew up with our girls, and it was sitting right on the bench as I went out the door that morning, and something told me, put the quilt in the car. Because I was going to Tucson to watch Abigail. I would go down and watch her for a couple days for our daughter and then come home. And then her other grandparents watched her during the week. And I was like, Samantha, just focus. Just go do what you're doing. You can get the quilt later. Well, I got to make that quilt a second time.
Wow.
And so that voice is there for a reason. Learn to listen to it. Become sensitive to it. That was, you know, one of the things that God really showed me was, I'm here if you're listening. Mm. I'm always here. But you have so many loud things going on in your life that you don't hear what I'm telling you.
Yeah. I love that. So God really changed your perspective on things. Like, is it going to matter in the long run?
And right.
And he also has revealed to you the sweetness of listening to his voice.
Oh, yeah. And he is a good father. And when I feel like I'm being punished, I need to remember my relationship as a parent with my kids, as flawed as I am, I still would wish no harm on them.
Right.
And so God doesn't doesn't wish harm on us. He wants to protect us. Now, just going back to Job again, he allowed the boils. He allowed Satan to do what he did, but he was still there, I believe, comforting Job. Otherwise, I think Job would have cursed God. I don't know. That's a story for another day.
I know.
Right?
I love this quote on your blog, and then I want you to share your blog's URL so folks can follow you. But
okay.
You say, today I choose to be grateful. Today I choose to be fair when life isn't fair. Today I choose to keep my expectations in check when it is easier to keep them high. Today I choose to remember I am not the only one going through bumpy roads of life. Today I choose to remember everything happens for a reason. I just think that's such a beautiful reminder and such a encouragement to so many people that are facing hardships like you did. What would be your final word to encourage people on your lessons on how you have really been through some really hard, hard things, but you have not allowed that to defeat you?
If I had to really think about it, you know, some people have asked, you know, how can you still believe in God when stuff like this happens? Well, for me, how can I not? And even if there isn't a God, which I believe there is, but even if there isn't, I wouldn't change anything about my life. I am who I am today because of the tragedies and the struggles that I have faced. And I like who I am today. You know, I'm a much better person than I was 20 years ago. And that is really hard for me to say because I really haven't liked myself for a lot of years because, you know, maybe the things that I heard as a child or lessons, you know, over the years, just so much telling, you know, you're a bad girl. I can remember with our kids, we always said they're good listeners. Be a good listener because I really didn't want to say you're bad or good. I wanted it to be about their behavior, not about them personally. And so struggling through that over the years, just knowing, you know what, I am worth it. I am worthy because God said so. Yeah. And just focusing on that. And like you said, everything does happen for a reason. And hey, I may not like it, but I will tell you this, we would not have built the house that we're building now, but for the fire. And one of the things that we were challenged with when building this house is we were going to downsize. And all of my life, I've wanted to have a place where the family could come, but also when the fire happened, we had nowhere to live. And a couple had a little casita that was about, I don't know, 350 square feet that we stayed in for a month. It, you know, didn't have a dishwasher or range or anything like that. And we thought, you know, it would be nice to have a place where people could come and sabbatical or just a sanctuary type of place where people could come rest. And so out of that came the downstairs walkout basement that we did. You know, it will be a place where if a pastor just needs a weekend to just be quiet, he can come stay there.
Awesome.
And so, you know, I feel like maybe this was God's way of saying, okay, this is, we're moving on to the next step. I want you to have, you know, you've always wanted this place. I want you to be able to build it. And so now we've been able to build it.
That's
and
so, cool.
So just looking at the bright, you just have to look at the bright side.
Yeah.
And not in a Pollyanna way, but in a way that logically, realistically, yeah, it really, really stinks losing all your stuff.
Yeah.
It really was awful losing our animals, but now, you know what, the breeder gave us, the dog we have now, her name's Malachi from Malachi 3 and we call her Millie. And then, Lulu is Hallelujah from, Bethany Dillon's son. Whatever's in front of me helped me to say Hallelujah. Mm. And, we wouldn't have them if we wouldn't have lost the other pets.
You have such a great perspective. What is your blog's, how can people read your story and follow you? What's your URL?
It's a little bird told me.com, and it's under WordPress, and I was going to look it up. It's Samantha Ann Wright, A-N-N-E. Maybe Google that too.
Well, thank you so much for being here, Samantha, and sharing your story. It's
thank you for having me.
So awesome to hear how the Lord's working through you and your desire for pursuing Him and being content no matter the circumstances. So
thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Grace-Based Family Podcast. This is part of Family Matters Ministry. For more information, check us out at gracebasedfamilies.com and follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Until next time.